What's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week, every single Monday through Friday, 7 a.m.
Hell yeah, we do. It's a good time.
Didn't mean to cut you off there.
Hey, it's all good.
Getting the flow back, you know? Anyways... in Clippers news, we're kicking things off with that Clippers versus Spurs preview. This is going to be the first night of a back-to-back, so look out for the preview tomorrow for the Warriors as well. But we're going to talk about what we need to do well to win this one, as well as what could go wrong. Talk about some key matchups you want to look for. And then, it's my favorite day of the week.
What day is it?
It's Twitter Tuesday!
Hey!
Thank you, everyone, who sent in those questions ahead of time. If you'd ever like your question to get featured on this show, go ahead, send those over. Every single Monday, put out the prompt. But yeah, send those over to @LockedOnClips. We'd love to hear from you.
Love
to chop it up with everyone out there. And then we got some shavings for you, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else going on around the league. There's some new health protocols going on. And there's a great carryover of a Twitter Tuesday question from Eric, who is, if you don't know, the Clippers,
Eric Bowie,
Clippers meme god. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so this is the Clippers versus Spurs preview. First game of a back-to-back. Both of these games, very winnable.
Seems
like we could come out of this situation.
With the Clippers, I never like to get too far ahead of myself.
That's fair. As soon as we had a 31-point lead, I was like, I'm going to have to delete my Twitter before this what happens. There's going to be no Derek White for the Spurs, as well as most likely no LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep.
And for the Clippers, which is something I'm trying not to think about, no Marcus Morris due to knee soreness.
Are we worried about this?
I think we should just move on.
All right,
I don't know how I feel about it.
What do we need to do well to win this one?
So, look, if LaMarcus Aldridge is out, we're the much larger team.
Yes.
Kind of across the board.
Yes. And I mean, with Zoo, we have the capability to go much larger than the lineups the Spurs are generally running out there.
Yes. So the Clippers are currently 29th in rebounds per game.
It is
a small sample size, but I think it has to be a little bit surprising.
All the sample size I need to see.
Yeah. To anyone listening, it's probably a little surprising given how good our center options are and just kind of the general like ball hawks. Like Patrick Beverley led the team in rebounds, I'm pretty sure. In that Suns game.
I didn't look up deflections coming into this one because I would guess that we're
PG near has to be number one.
We're near the top in deflections as a team. But yes, the rebounding is a little bit troubling. So that is something that we're going to need to do well. Overall, we just need to use that size to our advantage.
Yeah.
I do see us as obviously larger, but the more physical team as well. So I think, you know, crashing the glass the way the Lakers did in their win over the Spurs, which was a tight win. I do think people are kind of sleeping on the Spurs right now.
They're on a skid, which I'm scared about. But
yeah, we'll talk about this in what could go wrong. But basically, the thing is, this is a team that's lost like four games straight. Their back's against the wall.
Pretty handedly, a couple of them, too.
You never know what's going to happen. So we definitely need to play with physicality on both ends of the floor. This is going to be kind of a recurring theme for me in this preview, but like we need to get downhill kind of early. Find ways to sort of open up the floor, get to the line, and then obviously open up for shooters, get the ball moving around. The Spurs take the third least amount of threes in the league, and they're only
hitting
them. That's
kind of surprising.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of their personnel isn't like super
doesn't exactly three. Line up for it.
It isn't like super three oriented, and obviously, you know, due to injury and stuff, they have been missing guys. But they're only hitting that low number at, you know, like a league average rate, a little bit above. I think they're like 12th. We somehow, despite like two eggs of games, are holding down second in 3-point percentage.
Yeah.
So like I said, once again, play downhill.
For sure.
Break down that defense. Get guys good opportunities at a high volume. And let's put this thing away, man.
I think that starts with PG, too. There's another note in here that says get to the damn line, which PG has been doing a good job of doing.
Especially early. I love that he's starting out aggressive. And
100%.
We need that to continue. It just opens everything up.
Yes.
Also, just on the last thing on the getting downhill, I promise I'll stop pounding on this after this, but we are a bottom 10 team in free throw attempts.
Yeah, that's
bottom
not good.
Bottom 10.
It's not good.
Anyways, what could go wrong in this one?
So the bench, I think, is going to be an interesting one to watch in this game. The bench, plus Paul George, had an 18-0 run against the Suns last game. Really made things a lot easier, even though they crawled back, because that's how the NBA works. But it'll be a much more enjoyable night for Kawhi and PG, for all of our starters, if they can take some time and exploit the shorthanded Spurs team. Like, this would be, like, Luke Kennard has been ramping up. He's been looking better and better kind of each game. So this could be a game where maybe Luke Kennard takes advantage of some stuff.
Definitely.
We talked about the bigs. I hope this is a game where Zubats gets more than 6 rebounds. I think that is a very legitimate thing to ask of him to do and not too crazy. But if the bench doesn't show up and we get a team that's fired up to hand the number one team in the West, number two, whatever we are after this tonight shakes out, a loss, it'll be a lot harder than we want it to be.
This would be a great game for the bench to get clicking, like you were saying. I mean, especially if Derek White isn't going to be in this one.
And I guess when I say bench, I should mean true bench. No Paul George.
Yeah.
No Kawhi out there.
Yeah.
Like an all bench unit. We like the staggering, but this is a game where we could see some ramp up for the bench.
I mean, especially on the, you know, on the first night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Hopefully you would be able to limit some of that staggering and kind of let some of these other guys in the rotation kind of take care of things. You know, once again, don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But another thing that could go wrong is, like, if we show up slow on defense, we're not going to get that opportunity.
Yeah.
The Spurs, you know, they're a better ball moving team than we are. It's one of those Spursian things, you know, where it's kind
pop.
Of, it's, yeah, and it's like the sum of its parts situation.
Yeah.
They average like 10% more assists than us. So this worries me, especially given some of this execution that we saw in the last game.
Yeah.
I thought down the stretch, some of the heavy ISO, especially some of the players that were taking the shots, I thought was inexcusable.
Are you talking about, well, the next note in here is which version of Kawhi are we getting? And I hope it's no mask version, because mask Kawhi is kind of bad at basketball compared to what he usually is.
Just in that last game. We have seen some great mask Kawhi.
For sure. But last game, mask Kawhi, we've talked about how it affects his breathing.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't play comfortably in the mask.
Yes.
And I really hope that he's mouth stuff. In terms of healing, seems very hard.
Well, isn't it generally the fastest?
I don't know, because we don't know what part of his mouth is hurt.
That's fair.
Right? Like, if it's his tongue, that seems like something gets open when you're eating or something like that. But yeah, I hope we get good Kawhi.
Yeah, I would like
to. Not that it's like a thing we should be worried about as the season goes on. I didn't mean it like that, but it was bad last game.
Yeah, well, I guess when I say, like, what version of Kawhi are we getting is like, I mean, it's understandable to me that you're going to have nights where the shooting is off. I guess the thing that worries me is, like, last game down the stretch, when we saw him 4-for-20 and just forcing the issue.
Yeah.
When there was another guy.
PG had 39.
Yeah, when there was another guy on the court who was on fire to, yeah, like, move the ball, man. Yeah,
for sure, 100%. Anything else that could go wrong?
No, just like the falling into the ISO things, we don't want to make things easy for a Spurs defense. Like,
for sure.
Let's continue that trend of ball movement. It's been good so far.
We like it.
We like it. Let's do more of it.
What are some key matchups in this Clippers versus Spurs game?
All right, so I'm kind of interested in the forwards matchup in this one.
Yeah.
Keldon Johnson is kind of taking a leap this year. He had a career game against the Lakers, which, once again, that was a very close game,
yeah,
that the Lakers ended up winning in that one. He's shooting 42% from three. He's taking like 4 attempts a game, so it's not exactly a small sample size. DeRozan is another one of those dudes who's good for 20,
he's,
man,
probably going to put up
20. He's good for, yeah, 20 on any night. So defensively, you know, like Kawhi and PG or Batum, depending on how those rotations kind of work out, they're going to have to work to keep these guys honest. Like,
yeah,
it's not going to be a cakewalk.
We've been switching pretty heavily as the season starts, so these guys are going to see some different looks.
Definitely.
Hopefully.
Definitely.
So, I would also like to interject real quick. I just wish the Clippers could draft half as well as the Spurs have drafted recently. Feels like every one of their picks is like kind of a weird spot, but they all look pretty damn solid.
I mean, we'd have, yeah,
be a good time.
Yeah, man. What are you saying?
We could draft better.
Yeah, if we drafted as well as the Spurs,
I
things
said 10%.
Would be really good.
I said 50%
things
as
would
well
be
as
really
the Spurs.
Good.
I said 50%.
If we had the luck the Warriors had, yeah,
okay,
things would be great.
Well, Steph isn't even that good. I'm just kidding. That I'm just kidding. When
this
I
is
that
a lie.
Steph is so good.
Yeah.
Zuver Surge. we're going to hammer this point again, versus whoever they run at center.
Yes.
Because it's been kind of their backup five has basically been a small ball lineup. And the Clips could go either way against this. Because remember when we played the Rockets last season and they were like, we're doing small ball stuff. And then like Patrick Patterson, I think, had like a double-double. Or like things just went real out of hand for the Rockets really fast.
Yeah, Trez had great numbers against the Rockets too.
Who? And, you know, obviously different coach, different regime type situation, but it wouldn't surprise me if we just go big again. And it's like, fine, you're going small. We're going to give the ball to Zubats in the paint. Like, they should feast. This should happen.
Yeah, no, I would love it. I'd love to see us, yeah, kind of take advantage of sort of that mismatch. I'm curious to see how the X's and O's plays out in this one. The new kid on the block.
Ish.
Versus the old vet.
Versus the old man. Versus Greg Gran Torino Bobovich. Yeah, like the rotations are going to be very interesting to watch. We've talked about the Spurs have lost four straight. They're going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Like going against any Popovich team shorthanded, it's like a Spolstra team where you're like, dude, I don't know what the hell he's going to come up with. It might just devastate us.
It's true.
And thankfully, we now have a coach who will make adjustments if we're getting brutalized from some random ass matchup.
Yeah.
So this is a great test for Ty Lue. Not that the other games haven't been. He's face obviously some fantastic coaches, but shorthanded Pop I think is a great litmus test for a coach of a new team who also, I'm not trying to pretend like the Clippers aren't shorthanded, just feels a little less shorthanded with how Batum has been playing.
Certainly. I mean, the potential is there.
What is your prediction for this game?
I think that we're going to have to work harder on this one maybe than we'd like.
Okay.
But I do think that we put away a win.
Okay.
And I would love to be wrong. I would love for us to like trounce out and not lose a lead, but
I would love that too.
I'm just seeing I just think when you've lost four straight, you got a fiery team that you're facing up against. You got a great coach, and they do have solid personnel. Like they don't have the top tier talent that we have, but they got solid guys who know how to play.
100%. The line for this game, we're recording this on Monday night, is not up yet on betonline.ag, but I'd probably take the over.
Taking the over.
I think the Clippers are going to come out firing. I think Kawhi is maybe, as much as he won't say it to anybody ever, might want to play a little well against the Spurs. You never know. There might be some added motivation there.
That's a good point. You know, I did not factor that in.
But I think the Clips got it. Let's hope so. Coming up, we're going to be answering the fantastic fan questions we get at Locked On Clippers for Twitter Tuesday. But first, we got to give a shout out to betonline.ag.
You got to do it.
You got to do it. Hope you all are ready for some college football and for the NFL playoffs to kick off. There's like six games between Saturday and Sunday. A lot of betting to be had. A lot of money to be made if you know what you're doing. If you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus, so they'll match your funds 50%. There's been a lot of blowouts this NBA season so far. I don't think the spreads have caught up yet. That's just me thinking. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, all capital letters, one word, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with Twitter Tuesday. Once again, thank you to everyone who sent in those questions ahead of time.
Love it.
Got to say it one more time. If you would like a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead, send that over on a Monday, preferably.
Yes, on a Monday.
To at Lockdown Clips. But hey, if you send it over at any time of the week, we might not get to do it on Twitter Tuesday. But
might just be a conversation on Twitter.
Might just be a conversation on Twitter. But we'd still love to talk to you. We'd love to hear from you. What do we got?
We got to give a shout out to Lockdown Bets real quick.
Locked On Bets.
Daily betting show. Go check it out. We've gotten a couple things right, a couple things wrong, but that's how betting goes. One more time, that's Locked On Bets.
It made me some money.
Hey. At Dominic C., frequent listener, I'm assuming. He asks a lot of questions. We appreciate it. He asked something that's kind of been bubbling for a few games for the Clippers, and something that I think we've all thought about just a little bit. Doesn't matter how much you're really committed to the idea. He asks, I'm curious about starting Batum. Obviously, he's not better than Mook. But maybe there's an opportunity to let Mook eat with the second lineup. Do you think Mook would be able to accept that different role?
So, I think yes. I do think that Morris is a team-first guy.
Yeah, second part of the question, I have no problem. I have no reservation thinking that Morris wouldn't be. He just got paid a bunch of money, so I think he's probably pretty chill with it. If it gets him a ring, it seems like.
I think you got to give him the opportunity with the starters.
That's a great point too.
It's a unit that's had continuity. It's a unit that, guys, I love Batum.
Well, no, this version of Stars has had continuity.
I'm the leader of the Batum Battalion.
You and Joseph Fireward, yes.
But the thing is like we posted some of our best defensive numbers with Morris in that starting lineup. It's unavoidable. I agree
with what you're saying, but per Shane Young.
What do you got?
The Clippers have had the best lineup in terms of net rating for lineups of more than 50-plus minutes played. Net rating is 33.7, plus minus a cool plus 42. The Mavs game isn't in this, obviously, because Kawhi didn't play in that game.
Yeah.
So this is a little skewed. But the weird thing is like the longer this knee thing goes, the familiarity for the starters is eating into, you know what I mean? Like the lines cross at a certain point, right? Like there's no real timeline. Fred Morris is back. I can't imagine he plays in the Warriors game if he's not playing in the Spurs game.
I know, but these guys have still played the equivalent of, I mean, a half season of current, you know, 72-game basketball
have.
Together.
Yeah, like three of them have. Because Bev was hurt and Serge is new.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It is a completely different look.
It's a time issue, I guess, is what I'm saying. Because the longer that Morris is out, look, because of Luke and Bamute, none of us have any idea
what
knee soreness means. So, like, what if this goes, and I hope I eat my words, what if this goes to 12 games? What if it goes to 15 games? Then it begs this thing of, like, so what is our lineup? Like, what is our ramp-up time for the playoffs? We know he'll be healthy for the playoffs.
Hopefully. This is another thing I feel like we've been dancing around. How many more games are we going to go where it's just like, oh, Morris isn't available because of knee soreness before we're like, okay, so what's the diagnosis?
If he
hasn't played in 12 games and they're still saying knee soreness?
There's an issue. There's a bigger issue for sure. I think 12 games is fair.
We knew Paul George was going to miss 11 games coming in last season.
Obviously we knew it. There was 11. There's the number.
Yeah, and obviously ended up, you know, with more to the hamstring thing, but like that was a double surgery, all right?
Yeah.
And so if he's missing more games and there's not even a diagnosis, I'm worried, man.
No, Ty Lue said he's going to be back when he looks ready on the court, and I'm like, great. Okay. We'll see. Well, maybe that'll be the What You Say Wednesday question.
Maybe our every question to Ty Lue, first question.
What's going on with Morris?
What percentage would you say is that right now?
Yeah, give us a
percentage. What percentage is he at?
Coach
Letter Lue. Grade. Letter grade for Marcus Morris.
Yeah, no curve. Please stop playing Reggie asked. That wasn't just me pleading for that. With Kennard starting to ramp up, do you think he should start over Bev? That way the defense on the bench is improved while not losing a lot of shooting because Bev can hit shots. Kennard with the starters can be covered up by the better defenders in this lineup. So I think I was kind of on board with this idea before, kind of against it now.
So
Bev posts really good plus minuses and the team looks better when he's on the court with starters. He has, like to your point, familiarity with Kawhi and Paul George. Like if they haven't asked for it at this point, I don't think Kennard is going to be taking those minutes.
So coming into this
right now,
coming into this season, I was definitely a lot more open to this idea because it you know, it's exciting. It's a sexy idea, all right? It's a sexy
it's
idea.
It's exciting.
Kennard out there whipping the ball around. But it's working. I just...
Yeah, right now things are working.
Right now things are clicking so well that especially, you know, given whatever we're going to have to do to reintegrate Morris, we shouldn't be giving ourselves any more wrenches. We'll accept the wrenches as they come,
yeah.
But we shouldn't be giving ourselves anymore.
Yeah, I like that.
I do like the idea of it improving the defense on that second unit, but I do think that Ty Lue is already taking a look at that pretty seriously with the way that he's staggering Kawhi and Paul George.
Yes.
Zoo, man. Zoo lifts the floor defensively of that second
so
unit.
Much
higher even than I thought he would.
Well, I talked about, you and I were texting about this, I said this on the last pod that I had to do solo, it was fine, whatever, that it's hard for me to wrap my brain around the fact that the bench has a borderline elite rim protector.
Yeah,
like it's still hard to kind of think about that.
Yeah.
And I'm happy every time that I'm surprised by it. Afghan Stallion, can't get over how good of a Twitter handle that is, asks, what are your thoughts on Lou Will so far this season? In my opinion, I'm kind of liking his usage rate going way down because he will be more fresh in the playoffs and we won't need to rely on his scoring as much anymore if we choose to keep him. I kind of agree with every point.
I don't like the last part of this. if we choose to keep him, if we're so lucky to keep Lou Will.
That is fair. Someone on our Twitter just asked if we should do a Terry Rozier trade, and I threw my phone into the sink. No, I love his usage being down.
Yes.
When it's up, it looks great, and it's so fun to watch the regular season. And then you get to the playoffs, and if you're not a elite coach, you go, well, let's give the ball to Lou Will. Oh, but that means he's getting sought out on defense. Oh, and the shots aren't falling. Well, I guess now we're pretty screwed.
Yeah.
I love a low usage. And he seems fine with it, too.
Well, we can just save him for when we need him. And we can put him... It's like Ty Lue has kind of said sort of religiously throughout this thing. He wants to get guys in spots to succeed. He wants to get guys in spots where they're comfortable. And I think that lowering that usage rate, especially, you know, as he does accelerate in age, is one of those things that's going to keep him fresher and keep him in those spots where he can be successful.
Yes.
I think we've even seen this year. I mean, there have been some outliers, but I think overall the efficiency to me has looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's early. It's a weird season for a vet who definitely probably has a routine when there's a regular preseason and a regular ramp up and stuff like that.
Yeah, the thing I can't get over is like this is definitely the least amount of basketball Lou Williams has ever played in his entire life in an off season.
Yeah, 100%. So he's looked good. He's looked a little more locked in, but he was barking at people. He was making good rotations.
I know I say this every year. I'm like, Lou Will. I mean, he's figuring things out on that end. I'm a fool, okay?
I like him playing next to Zoo on the second unit because I think he picks up on the defensive intensity, which Trez does not have. Does. At Clipper Spencer asks, the Clippers still seem to be switching everything on defense, which is what allowed teams to match up Hunt against us so effectively in the bubble. Should I be concerned about this? Didn't like seeing the Suns get Ibaka on CP3 and Bev on Ayton in crunch time. Could not agree more, Spencer. This freaks me out a little bit. I don't think we should be concerned because I think defense lags behind offense in terms of how things look with new systems and stuff like that because it's so much easier to, you can very clearly see when an offense is working and it's maybe a little harder to see the nuance of defensive team stuff. I don't know if we should be worried. I have to give this an I don't know because there were times for when he coached the Cavs when like Lou would do that aggressive, crazy trapping to like basically that was only to beat the Warriors. So maybe this was just only being done because when we play the Lakers, we're going to switch everything. Because matchup wise, that's fine with the Lakers, right? Like for the most part, they're a bigger team.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's also kind of it's a TBD or an incomplete thus far. We haven't seen a large enough sample size, but yeah, I agree with you. You know, like we know Ty Lue to be sort of an end game sort of coach where he's going to try things until we get to that point. And you also have Dan Craig in there. So you have the personnel to get it figured out. So in that sense, I'm not worried. And we also, we have the guys on the floor, like both the versatility and I think at this point, the IQ to sort of get that stuff figured out. So I'm not worried yet, but I do like that you bring this point up, and it definitely is something worth watching.
I saw CP3 get surged like twice in the beginning of that Suns game, and I was like, oh, God.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
This is not going to be good. Final question of this segment. Clip Pack for Life said, the Warriors are bad this year. No hate for Curry, which also, just a quick aside, if you don't think Steph Curry's legacy is solidified, you're 13. I don't know what to tell you. I hate the Warriors. The man is great at basketball. He won a unanimous MVP. What are we doing here?
What more can he do?
What more can you do? How about this? Two unanimous MVPs. he also said, Harden has made some questionable decisions preseason, to put it lightly. No real hate towards him. PG hit a backboard and Kawhi had a bad game in game 7. Still talked about. Why does the media hate LA Clippers so? Love the so on the end of that question. And do you think it will ever change? No, it will never change. Ever. It will never change and we should be fine with that.
Yeah,
not fine. Fine's the wrong word. It's never going to change. What the hell are we going to do? If we win a championship, Twitter's going to be a nightmare. Sports media, no matter what happens if the Clippers win a championship, there will be holes poked in it.
My thing is, I mean...
But also, I'm living.
I hope the guys on court are as excited about this as I am. Like, it would piss the entirety of the sports media world off if the Clippers were to make a finals or win a championship.
What happens if PG wins finals MVP?
Yeah. I mean,
which is not the craziest thing to think about.
People would explode.
I love it.
So I think that I do agree. I mean, part of it is definitely people have a short-term memory. The way the Clippers ended that season is, you know, forever going to be a stain, I guess, on this.
It only seems long-term for the Clippers, though, which sucks.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I mean, and, you know, unfortunately, we did have a pretty long, long-standing reputation for a long time.
Being absolute garbage, owned by one of the worst owners of all time.
In a previous regime, which we'll not talk about anymore.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know that it's ever going to change. I truly think it'd be one of those things. I feel like the Raptors have like one of the most like the least respected championships of all time.
And that's the thing. Like every championship should be respected. The bubble championship, respected. Every championship, the Raptors won. It's absurd. Like
one team wins it. And it's never easy.
No. I mean, I hope the hate continues because I'll just be like, I don't know, we got one ring, dude. What do you want me to do? Get two rings? Bitch, let me live.
Like, no problem.
Hey, you know what? No sweat, dude. Now that we picked up that fourth year on Terrence Mann. Coming up, we're going to talk about some new health protocols as well as a fantastic question from LOL WTF Eric. But first, Will, we haven't heard from these people in a long time. Talk to me about auto parts. What's going on these days?
Oh, buddy. Well, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models on the market right now, you know, you got Fiats, you got Kias, you got Hyundais.
Whoa.
You got Hyundais, which are actually just a knockoff of that.
Oh, man.
And models.
That's what I have.
You got the Pacifica. You got the XT5. You got your XT3.
Too
you know?
Many letters.
There's so many models. There's so many abbreviations.
Oh, yeah.
It's now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain store. You go to your AutoZone, they don't have parts for your Pacifica XT5.
No.
So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is this your Odyssey? And is it an LX? Is it an EX? I don't know.
I'm always getting budget shamed at the auto parts store.
And why would you want to wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers. You have access to rockauto.com at your home and in your pocket. And the best thing about rockauto.com is they're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You know you can trust them. That's as long as the internet has existed. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks. And the best part is, it's delivered directly to your door.
Nice.
The rockauto.com catalog is unique and it's remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. And prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck or van or Hummer. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, we got to wrap these shavings up, then get out of here. We're talking the new health protocols. Yes, finally. Shams.
What everyone's waiting for.
Shams tweeted out, the NBA has informed its 30 teams of updated rules. Love that he includes how many teams are in the league every time he tweets about the league. Starting Tuesday, which is the day you're listening to this, all active players who are dressed to play must wear a face mask until they enter the game. All players, coaches, and staffers in tiers 1 and 2 must wear a mask when outside the team setting and indoors. After exiting the court, active players are strongly recommended to wear a mask in bench area. The requirement resets at halftime. I have no idea what that means. Inactive players remain required to wear masks for the entire game. This seems like it just should have been a thing in the beginning. Is if you're not playing, wear a mask. That seems like what the rule is, right?
Yeah. And man, it has been super inconsistent, and it's inconsistent into when people are wearing masks, you know, like with the media and not. And
it's weird.
There's a lot of ambiguities. Also, man, just weird side note. Do you think that Shams is always bringing up the 30 teams, and it's like a quotes thing because maybe there's secret lizard teams we don't know about?
Yes. I never thought about it, but yeah, dude. I bet the Lizard...
All 30 teams.
Yes. I bet the Lizard Clippers have a couple of chips. No, but like it's like so like a bunch of NFL teams were fined for people like breaking protocol during games and stuff. I think the Raiders were the most fined team.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I think
Las Vegas. That makes sense.
What are you gonna do? I think this is maybe kind of a built-in thing, so they can start fining people to set an example. Not sure if I'm totally against it, but why do this now? It's not like COVID's gotten any better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still early enough in the season that I think if you are seeing problems with the protocol or you are seeing improvements, I do think it's worth tightening things up or sort of correcting things where you're seeing inefficiencies. And certainly the inconsistency is something that's worth addressing.
Ty Lue's mask last game against the Suns was also like clear. I could like see his mouth in his mask.
Yeah.
Which didn't make a lot of sense. But also this kind of related.
Hard to focus.
Yeah. It's real good HD, dude. Kevin Durant. Had COVID in May, has been testing negative, but people around him have, it seems like, tested positive?
Yeah, so the, there's...
Is that the report? Like, but he's held out for, I think it's 4 games.
Yeah, so per Woj, like, you can opt to have people in your family tested, which, you know, makes sense. You would want to keep
them
safe. I
would be like, yeah, test everyone in my family, dude.
But, yeah, if they're held, like, if they show up with a positive result and you have been around that person... It makes sense that they are putting you sort of in a lockdown. But if the player continues to test negative, I guess for if it's for a 4-day period, I mean, that does seem like a long enough gestation to make sure that you're safe.
Yeah.
But what about for the people who just are opting to not have their family be tested? You know what I mean? Because they can't force you.
No, of course not.
It's totally, you know, it's totally volunteer-based, essentially, or... Yeah. Opt in, opt out kind of situation.
I don't know, man. I mean, kudos to Kevin Durant for getting, you know, the fam test and everything like that. No, it's a lot to kind of try and put together.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the right answer is.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm just asking the question.
no,
I
mean, I,
hope I don't weigh
family
on either side
safe.
Of it. Yeah. Like, it makes sense to me, but.
I hope whoever in his circle has the reasoning for him being out, but. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if... And more of this is going to pop up, 100%.
Yes.
Which is going to be difficult. I was honestly surprised that the Clippers weren't the first team to have to deal with a superstar being out because of COVID stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't jinx it because it already happened, baby.
Absolutely.
And we're going to close out with a classic LOL WTF Eric question. That has his name on Twitter. You need to check him out on Instagram, too. He's a fantastic artist. Made a sick Paul George pick and an MF Doom pick, RIP. Make sure you spell his name in all caps. He asks, which hilarious personal New Year's resolution does each player or coach set for themselves and end up barely missing? Example, Patrick Patterson tries his best to be featured in the newest Pokemon Snap, but ends up in Barbie's Horse Adventure as a playable character. Barbie's Horse Adventure, an actual game for the Game Boy that came out at one point.
Not that bad of a fate for Patrick Patterson.
No, but... For going for Pokemon.
I'd be collecting that check. tell you what.
So I had a couple on here. Terrence Mann keeps wanting paintings of Kobe and him from different artists.
Okay.
But they all turn out bad, so now he just has a garage full of unusable tribute art that he'll end up selling at Cynthia Alley. I also was kicking around. Ty Lue wants to stop spewing rings from his mouth, which again,
we're never going to let this go.
If you haven't watched it, type in Ty Lue spits out a ring. So he goes to a hypnotist. Unfortunately, he is made to believe that he is actually Sonic the Hedgehog, but the Clippers lead the league in pace for the rest of the season. So it's not all bad.
I like it.
What do you got? Who could you see messing up this New Year's resolution?
I want to see Zoo. You know, he wants to feel more confident in his size. You know, he wants to
Is this a Blue Chew ad?
No, he just wants to feel. You know, sometimes when you're a taller guy, you could feel a little uncomfortable making, you know, fashion forward sort of decisions. So sometimes something a little bit too big of a swing, you're like, I don't know if that's for me.
You're talking to a 6'2 gentleman who owns a Miami Dolphins baseball jersey. Never been worried about risks.
But anyways, he gets into it, ends up getting too into it And looks even more terrifying
just
on the
court.
Just
starts wearing Rick Owens.
Yes.
Just, like, starts wearing a bunch of...
Can you just imagine? Yeah, 7 foot tall goth Zoo, you know? maybe starts wearing black lipstick in the locker room.
Zoo becoming...
Which I'm down for. I think it's cool, but it'd be intimidating as fuck.
Zoo becoming gothic fashion Zoo, where he's wearing like geo baskets and like huge weird Rick Owens stuff. I mean, we thought Pat Bev was going there with that one outfit he wore when a whole lot of red dropped, which is still not talked about enough. Not the album, the Pat Bev outfit. But we'll get to that. Thank you so much, Eric Bui, for this question.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Love it.
You know that Patrick Patterson also was the first person I thought of before I thought as example of someone who would short their New Year's Eve resolution.
What if Kawhi leaned more into the Leatherface thing and just started wearing aprons?
I mean, that would also be equal. Dude, if we had Leatherface, Kawhi, and goth fashion Zoo, we're not losing a damn game.
Unstoppable.
And Hawaiian shirt Paul George just to counteract the vibe. Just tiki drinks all day. What's the COVID rule? I'm putting a little umbrella in the water bottle. All right, we got to get out of here.
I always think there's something secret in the bottle because it looks so sketchy with the white label and the Sharpie like, player name on it.
Water. In quotes. All right, we got to get out of here. Wednesday's episode, recap of the hopeful victory over those pesky Spurs. Preview of the Clippers versus Warriors primetime back-to-back, where we might see our first Clippers get fined for not playing Kawhi because of rest situation. A What You Say Wednesday poll, so for look out for that on Twitter. Probably going to be about Marcus Morris's knee. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fantastic listeners tell everyone they know to listen to us?
You should tell everyone you know to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here, go ahead, leave a rating and review. They might be taking away reviews from iTunes in 2021.
Yeah, so, what the hell is that?
If you can, please try to get in there. You know, leave us some 5 stars. Show us some love. We'd love it. We love you.
Spam that review button. Yeah, hey, we're still here. Clippers are playing some of their best basketball so far this season, which is great to see. We're going to bring you all that coverage. Again, we come out every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. So for you East Coasters, you're, nine. You know, 9, 10, I don't know what time it is over there.
What? I don't know.
Do they use a 24-hour clock over there? thank you all so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.